Do you ever wonder what's happening behind the scenes of the multi-trillion dollar fashion industry? In the new podcast, Fashion People, Puck correspondent and 20-year fashion veteran Lauren Sherman and a rotating cast of industry insiders discuss what fashion people are really talking about behind the scenes of the star-studded business, from creative director switcheroos to M&A drama, DTC downfalls, and Met Gala mishaps. Fashion People, a presentation of Odyssey in partnership with Puck, is available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Marketplace listeners, you know around here we like to think you're never too young to learn about the economy and financial basics. That's why we're bringing the Million Bazillion Live Tour to schools to teach important lessons about budgeting, investing, saving, and more. It's all the fun of the podcast, but now live, immersive, and interactive. Special thanks to our tour partner, Greenlight, the debit card and money app for kids and teens. Learn more about Greenlight at greenlight.com/million. That is greenlight.com/million. All right, let's fire this puppy up. I don't care if nobody's around. We just need the three of us.
Yeah, let's do it.
There we go. We just need the three of us. That's me and Molly, and Drew is driving today. I don't even know if I'm supposed to start us off today. I'm not.
So I don't know. We don't even care.
We don't even care.
We don't even care. Hello, everybody. Oh, hi.
Oh, man.
I'm Molly Wood. No, welcome back. Welcome back to the Make Me Smart Daily Edition. I am here with Kai Rizdahl to make today make sense. The increasingly adorably uphill task. Sisyphean, I think you could even call it.
What a good word.
And today, it's like a really bad radio word because I just spit on a lot of things, but it is a fun one to say.
Ew.
Yeah, I mean, it's only I use this mic.
Oh, man. That's right.
Today, of course, despite it being a short week, I think we can agree it's still pretty hollowed out.
It's amazing. This pandemic and the attendant stuff, gesturing wildly, it never ceases to amaze and always meets the challenge. Okay, so standard format, which is, for those of you who are new to this pod, number one, where you've been, number two, it's we do a couple of newsy things. Sometimes there are two, sometimes there are three, sometimes there are four. And then we'll do a little make me smile. Mine is with a sort of grotesque twist today, but that's only in my own mind. But we'll get there. We'll get there. Okay. Anyway.
Okay.
All right.
I for possibly the first time ever don't have one. So if any producer wants to just like drop one in and surprise me, that's fine. Because otherwise,
enough.
I was going to draft off Kai's.
Okay.
Because kind of same, like best thing on the internet today as usual. Anyway, we're jumping ahead.
Yes.
Let's go back to
the news.
Yeah. Microsoft today, in case you were wondering if it was going to be a rinse and repeat of versions of the 2016 election, Microsoft today came out with a detailed assessment and warning that says that the same Russian military intelligence unit that hacked the DNC, the Democratic National Committee, and I believe also the Republican National Committee 4 years ago, is back at it and still attempting to hack basically campaign staff members, consultants, and think tanks associated with both parties, both Democrats and Republicans. It is notable for many reasons, not least of which is foreign interference with the American election process. It definitely warrants heightened concern on the part of media outlets in terms of like information they receive and from where. And then it's also notable because it's this really detailed assessment, much more so than we've received or seen or anybody's gotten from American intelligence agencies. And that news, of course, comes a day after the government whistleblower said that some of that information may have been suppressed because it made the president look bad. So we find ourselves in this weird situation where we know that Russians and possibly also China and Iran are attempting to hack into our election. And it is up to a company to tell us that.
You know, it's funny because this is one of those things we have known for years that this is coming, right? Interference in our elections, much as we saw the pandemic coming, right? I mean, we saw it circle in the world and we saw it coming and yet we did nothing. And now we are actively doing nothing on this. And it's an existential threat to our democracy. And we're depending on Microsoft, for crying out loud, to. Anyway.
Yeah.
It's just bananas.
So, Yeah, yep. We are. Yep.
Okay.
It's bananas.
Well, so there's that. I've got two. It's actually one and a half. The first one is real, and then the second one is a pet peeve. So the first one is, the real one is, do all y'all remember Brexit and what a four-year, never-ending national nightmare of a business and economic news story that was, because we had to cover it all the time, and there were twists and turns and twos and fros, and we're having a vote, we're having a crisis. I went there, and we did stories, and that was a good part. Anyway, so finally, a year-ish or so ago, they made a deal that Britain would leave the European Union. We would have peace in our time, if I could use an anachronistic phrase there that doesn't really apply, but whatever. And everybody would move right along. And the European Union would go from 28 members to 27, and Britain would be on its own and then work a series of bilateral trade deals. Well, comes this week, and Prime Minister Boris Johnson, who I don't think is an exaggeration to call a loose cannon politically. In fact, I think he would probably be proud of that phrase. He has come up with a plan that, number one, his own people admit would violate international law, but number two, blow up the Brexit deal, which was years in the making. And I'm going to get weedy here for 30 seconds tops. The key part of the Brexit deal was resolving the Northern Ireland-Ireland border on the island of Ireland, because Ireland, the country, is inside the European Union, but a corner of that island is Northern Ireland, which is inside the United Kingdom and would be taken out of the European Union. But they have a land border, and so what do you do with that? It's really a big deal because, number one, trade and travel, but number two, also the troubles, that's capital T, the war, the civil war, frankly, but, well, probably not. I probably shouldn't say that. The conflict, shall we say, between Protestants and Catholics in Northern Ireland has calmed down in no small part because there was peace and tranquility and economic harmony on that border. And now Boris Johnson wants to blow up that part of the deal. And that, to me, is amazing. It's amazing. It's amazing. That was a minute.
I'm so glad you brought this up because I keep seeing it go by on Twitter, like people saying, what's the deal with Brexit? And I think I saw one tweet and I tried to look it up, but I couldn't find it because I don't know. My filter bubble is basically like, you don't care about that, sweetie. You only care about things that Trump says. My filter bubble, the New York Times. Anyway. And what?
Yeah. Yeah. It was the hardest thing for them to solve in the Brexit negotiations. And here we are a year later, Boris Johnson saying, no, I don't want to do that anyway. And the Europeans are rightly just pissed. And so they're going to Johnson and saying, listen, you've got like 3 days to figure this out, or we're just going to walk away and you can be done with yourselves, you know?
Yeah.
Sawed off, I guess, is whatever the in-polite phrase.
Oh, yeah. A menace.
Yeah.
What is the argument for trying to blow it up now? Getting a better deal?
He wants more control over the British economy. And one of the challenges with the Northern Ireland Protocol was that they would have to give up a little bit of sovereignty to let this larger deal work. And Johnson, who, by the way, was all Brexit, Mr. Brexit, is like, no, we don't want to do that. We're not going to do that. So that's the thing. Keep an eye on that one because it's going to come circling around. And it will break through even the insane politics here and all the, you know, economic stuff and all that jazz. It's a big deal, which in...
Oh, yeah, especially if it all, comes apart in some way.
Right. So that's my big news item. My second one is kind of a pet peeve, but also there's a little bit of substance here. And I figure since I dumped on President Trump for saying he was getting rid of the payroll tax, even though he didn't really have to have the power to do that, I have to call out Joe Biden today for an interview he did with Jake Tapper, in which he said, on day one, I'm going to raise corporate tax rates. Now, number one, I have a pet peeve that when politicians say, I'm going to do something on day one that they don't really have the power to do, it bugs me. And Joe Biden, even if he was made president tomorrow, would not have the power on his own to raise corporate tax rates. And I just think that ought to be called out. That's it. So I'm calling it out. I'm calling out Joe Biden.
Okay.
Sorry.
I'm only laughing because, wouldn't he? I don't know. Yeah. Do we have Congress anymore? Sure.
Well, yes. Fair point.
Skinny stimulus fell apart today. Blah, blah, blah.
Yep. Oh, yeah. And there's not going to be any stimulus. Stimulus is dead till the election.
Nope.
Trust me. They're going to keep the government running, which is a good thing. But
I broke my own rule, and I'm trying not to call it stimulus. Not stimulus.
Good for you.
Relief.
Good relief. Rescue is another one I like to use.
Rescue, also a good word.
Economy, yeah, true.
No rescue is coming.
Yep, for sure. For sure.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, there you go.
Seems like it might be a good time to start smiling.
Let's have it. Let's have it. I can actually see Drew today. I'm downtown, by the way.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. So I'm in a studio proper, which feels, I will tell you, really weird. Really, really weird. Okay, I'm going to go first just to get the grotesque twist out of the way. So Rex Chapman, who used to be a basketball player and now runs a really cool internet feed on which he basically posts things that are really nice reflections of humanity or sometimes pets and dogs or what have you. He posted one today that was this, and I'm just going to read it to you. These people found a baby goat trapped in a pit. They took him home and cared for him overnight. The next day they tried to find the owner but had no luck. While looking, they found a group of goats with the same white fur. And then this happened. And of course, what you see is this baby goat running to this other group of larger goats going, yay, yay, my goat people. And he found his people. The thing that kept going through my mind because of that first line, that I know, I'm so messed up. These people found a baby goat trapped in a pit. I was like, all right, you could cook a baby goat in a pit. It would be yummy. I would eat that. That's what I did. And that's my grotesque twist. And look, I come on this podcast.
Whoa.
I come on this podcast and I bare my soul. And you're getting my soul today. That's all I can tell you. Okay?
We are learning a lot right now.
Yes.
Is it extra messed up that I went like 9 directions inside my brain that were all sort of equally problematic? Like I was like, oh, you thought the mommy left him there on purpose? Oh, you thought the mommy was going to reject him once they were reunited? Oh, you thought that then they killed all the goats? Like, literally, no. I scenario planned like 7 awful things.
I was thinking past the barbecue sauce. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. Oh, so apparently this is the mindset.
I know. That's right. Anyway.
You started to have really weird dreams lately?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so I'm really glad that you brought up the Brexit thing, because it actually reminded me. Okay, first of all, I would like to give all the kudos to one Erica Phillips.
Oh yeah,
for her suggestion for a Make Me Smile when I was drop something in, because she was like, "Oh, you could use this McSweeney's article entitled 'It's Decorative Gourd Season, Mother Truckers,' except it uses the other word."
Yeah,
and I was like, "That's hilarious," because she made me do an Alexa explainer about decorative gourds.
Oh, that's funny. That's which
that's
was
a awesome.
Full circle right there.
It really was.
That's producer.
And this is also full circle. Kimberly Adams sent this because she's like programming our show from afar, but she sent it to me this morning just because it's so awesome. And it is it's old. It's from November 2019, but it is an exchange between a Brexit Party MP, member of Parliament,
that's so funny.
Member of the European Parliament, and the member of the Green European Parliament, over post-Brexit trade. And so this woman, Molly Scott Cato, is talking about how there's going to be this cliff if there's like a no, you know, they're going to march right up to a no-deal Brexit and it's going to be a disaster. And this, and politely is interrupted. She's like, you have a red card request or yellow card request or whatever from this guy. And what's so great about it is if you watch it, as soon as they say the name of the guy, you see her face just go like, here it goes. And these two women almost share a moment of like, oh God, here it comes. It's like the Jim Jordan of Parliament. Like there's going to be some. And he's like, well, I'm just wondering if you can offer some empirical evidence to support what you're saying. Because as far as I'm aware, she, referring to her in the weird third person like they do, does not have any degree in economics or any reason to believe this. And she just fires back at him. She's like, I was and I remain a professor of economics.
Man. Good grief.
At which point everybody starts clapping like,
yeah,
yay!
Of course.
And then she's just like, and also I've talked to, you know, 70 bajillion trade experts who all say that basically what's happening today is going to happen. She called it.
Boom.
And it's amazing. And I watched it like 30 times because she's just so like, all right, let's do this dance again, friend.
Yeah. Because men are jerks.
Sawed off, did you say? I don't think we're allowed to say that, but I think
did.
That
I did. Give me the E.
We got a British E. Boom.
So I'm gonna go,
we'll on. Take your British E.
I'm going to duck that. See what I did there? See what I did there?
I did, and I loved it. You're living on the edge on all the ways. While
British,
he ducks that,
ooh, British, that is British, it. British slang for the big one. So there you go.
I'm pretty sure that's like the bad one. Yeah.
Let's get out of here before I really hurt somebody.
Okay, time to go. Ooh. Tomorrow, if we're still allowed to, we'll be doing economics on tap.
We're totally covered today.
And the YouTube live stream, which suddenly seems like an even worse idea than usual.
Oh,
you can find that on the Marketplace APM YouTube channel at 3:30 p.m. Pacific, 6:30 p.m. Eastern. We will see you there. And next week, Tuesday, I'm excited about this. We brought up on the show this idea of all the women who were going to like leave the workplace because they are trying to deal with homeschooling. So this is the ask. Tell us what your company is doing. If they've started policies that have made your life easier or the life of working families easier, or in some cases, maybe not so much. Record your stories. Yeah. Record your stories in a voicemail or write us an email. Send it to us at makemesmart@marketplace.org.
Oh, my goodness. We're both going to get fired. You know that, right?
We really are. Yeah, today might be the day. Yeah, for lots of reasons.
Yes, a lot of them. Make Me Smart is produced and directed by Rose Conlon, although she might deny it today. Tony Wagner is our digital producer. Ben Hethcote is our video producer. Ethan Peretz is the hardest working intern in showbiz. Erica Phillips writes our newsletters, also those explainers you hear on your smart speakers, too.
Today's program was engineered by Drew Jostad, who I'm pretty sure also wants nothing to do with us anymore.
Right.
Our theme music was composed by Ben Tolliday and Daniel Ramirez, who are backing away quickly. The senior producer is Bridget Bodner. I think I actually see like a Wile E. Coyote trail of smoke where she used to be. And the executive director of On Demand is Sitar Nieves.
There you go. All right. Look, nobody got hurt. Nobody got hurt.
I love this show.
It's all good.
I love this show.
All good. All right, I'm literally shutting down my computer. There we go.
Erica's like, what is wrong with you guys?
People, man. We had a little something.
Oh, you thought the mommy is going to reject the goat?
Strong communication skills are critical for success in business and in life. Hi, I'm Matt Abrahams, and I host Stanford Graduate School of Business's Think Fast, Talk Smart, the podcast. Each week, I sit down with experts to discuss the best tips to help you with your communication skills, from conflict management to mastering small talk to tackling communication anxiety. Join us and start to develop and hone your communication skills. Listen every Tuesday wherever you get your podcasts or on YouTube.